So I'd like to give the title to this talk, What Else Would You Want to Do? And this is in continuation from the morning exploration of there's change and what makes not just change, but a path. I was some years with one of my teachers, meaning living in the same neighborhood and going to his teachings in the morning. And we call him Papaji, his name is Punjaji. Wonderful Indian name. He would be called H.W.L. Punja, Hari Wansh Lal, these long, loving names. And in his little room, he lived in a pretty simple home. Are we allowed to use the word elder, or did someone? One of my friends said, she's in her coming towards 70. We're not elderly, she said. You can't call me elderly. Her son or someone had called her elderly. In his later years, when his health wasn't so good, and he couldn't kind of stomp around the jungle, he settled in Lucknow. And he had done a lot of practice in his life, and he continued to sit on his bed cross-legged every day, several times a day. And in his teachings, he would say, don't practice. Meaning, don't do what you think you should do. Don't be a good girl, good boy. One time I was leaving, I had been there for over a year, and I was going back for an important family event to the United States for a few weeks. And it was kind of, I felt nervous to leave Lucknow and go to my father's wedding with his second wife, whom I had not met. And in the last teachings before I left, something he said felt like it was for me, as sometimes happens. He was just talking about, in a way, what we love to do. And he said, what else would you want to do? For him, what else would you want to do than sit cross-legged on your bed several times a day? For no reason. He didn't need to get anywhere at that point. So sometimes we don't know what we want to do. Sometimes we want to do many things at once, and it's hard to find out what do I most want to do. But this is part of our practice is to feel what our practice is. That doesn't feel like what someone else told us to do. Like doing someone else's time, doing someone else's practice, is like being in someone else's prison. So I'd like to read part of a poem by another U.S. poet. And I'm sorry that somehow most of the people I'm reading happen to be male. Not sure how that is this time. But he said, Carl Sandburg said, in a long poem called Breathing Tokens, "You were made for joy, child. The feet of you were carved for that." Carved is someone who's got a wood or stone and is cutting away until it's the right shape. The ankles of you run for that. We may have time to go more into the poem, that's the main thing I wanted to start with. We could say, we were made for joy, but it's you were made for joy, child. That deep innocence in the serious meeting face to face, naked, heart to heart. And again, I happily brought Michael Lunig in, this Australian cartoonist, poet, philosopher, whatever he is. Across the difficult terrain, so the difficult landscape of our existence, which can be like our life, our being, our day-to-day, can include a lot of our psyche. Across the difficult terrain of our existence, we have attempted to build a highway. Do you know what a highway is? And in so doing, have lost our footpath. So this is a prayer poem. God, lead us to our footpath. Lead us there where in simplicity we move at the speed of natural creatures and feel the earth's love beneath our feet. Lead us there where step by step we may feel the movement of creation in our hearts. And lead us there where side by side we may feel the embrace of the common soul. It's a beautiful line that's a little bit, sometimes he just suddenly goes way out there. Lead us there where, step by step, we may feel the movement of creation in our hearts. So this morning, there were the questions around, if my story about how my practice is going is that I keep freaking out and contracting every time there's any opening, and yet it does seem like in the long term there's a deepening and a flowering and there seems to be enough nourishment and space and support. So, but what am I doing? How do I acknowledge the difficulties without being overcome by them and empower that living quality that can flower? Or is it completely out of my hands? Or lead us there where step by step, so step by step. Sometimes it's really half second by half second. And it's humbling, it's hard to accept that. In that moment, we just cannot see or feel beyond that half second. Now I drink some water. Now I put the cup down. Like that, no? And lead us there where side by side, in the same way that he puts step hyphen, that little half line between words, step by step, side by side. He makes a connection between side by side and step by step. So just like there is step by step, there is moment by moment, and there's a step and then another step. Also, there is side by side that we are together. Lead us there where side by side we may feel the embrace. So side by side we may feel the embrace of the common soul. And here's another word like God that could mean so many things. Sometimes here, the goodness of feeling that we're never alone in our difficulty. In a couple of different ways. One, that whatever we're experiencing has been experienced and is being experienced somewhere on the planet. The same emotion, probably different situation, probably different step by step. And also where there is possibly that place of inner goodness, no matter what we've done or haven't done, where we meet, where there's an embrace that isn't personal and isn't not personal. Nothing can be loved at speed, Michael Lunick says. So this is just a guy who's saying what he experiences. Maybe you can love at speed. Sometimes, maybe we do. God lead us to the slow path, to the joyous insights of the pilgrim. Pilgrim? Someone who's going somewhere holy, and therefore the way is holy. God lead us to the slow path. So if I'm going somewhere holy, and then the way is holy, then we can go slowly. I'm secretly working towards a rap, in case you didn't know. To the joyous insights of the pilgrim. For the pilgrim, step by step and side by side, even if walking alone, people have walked before us and will come after. There's a heightened receptivity. There's more openness. That along the way, something that seems not important may be an important meeting, though the thing itself may stay unimportant. The meeting may be important. God lead us to the slow path, to the joyous insights of the pilgrim, another way of knowing, another way of being. Amen. So these little suggestions in the two pieces of though we struggle to have an insight in thinking and to understand, and it wouldn't be a bad thing to understand in our thinking, though we struggle there, where we could feel and be led is another way. In simplicity, we move at the speed of natural creatures and feel the earth's love beneath our feet. So we actually find our speed. We find our rhythm. The speed of natural creatures is a lot of times hanging out together, and it's with my son being so into animals. of all kinds. I've now noticed how often the camera's on the shark, waiting for the big bite. And meanwhile, the shark is being a shark. And meanwhile, all these fish are very close to the shark, being fish very close to a shark. No problem. They might be in some way aware, but they don't seem to change their way so much. And then suddenly, there might be something quick that happens. Feeling the movement of creation in our hearts. So now I can offer space if anyone has something to ask or say.
Well, quick question, what's the name of that poem?
Breathing Tokens. Yeah. Which the word tokens would be like, if it's, I don't know if it's needed, but since it's there. For example, sometimes it used to be that you could, with money, buy something that isn't money, but maybe looks like a coin, that you, when you get onto the bus, you could put into the bus machine. So it's usually, I would say, something small that stands for something else. And it's usually, like we could say, a token of my appreciation. That means this is really nothing compared to how much gratitude or how much appreciation I feel, but I want to express it anyway. So the poem is called Breathing Tokens. Anything else? Do I think we plan the path of our journey? What do you think I think?
I think yes and no.
Yeah. I think we do plan it. Many times. It's going to be like this. It's going to be so hard. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so high. It's going to be so low. And then it is or it isn't.
Do you think it has anything to do with the path we're actually walking in?
What, the plan? Yeah. Depends. I think sometimes. Sometimes it's, often it's the opposite. What we think we're doing and what we think is happening isn't. It's very often an exact opposite.
Because we really want something else and we're not acknowledging it?
So many reasons. One could be practice from somewhere deeper, your voice, please.
That if we plan a certain path, like she said so many times, it happens exactly the opposite way. And then I ask if it's because we're not acknowledging our true need or desire or...
So, could you hear? Yeah. I would almost say, I think it's a big subject, but first of all, that the mind gets very interested in the subject of whatever is actually on, but often it takes it backwards because it's trying to understand and thinking, and what's happening is happening in another language, somewhere else. And I would say, more often, we think something's wrong with us, and it isn't. We are more ignoring our gifts, our capacities, our freedom that's present and acting. Because thinking will go to what's like clunky, chunky, easy to feel. Wrong. Yeah. That.
Say again?
People plan, God laughs, something like that.
If you want to make God laugh, tell him your
plans.
Yeah. If you want to make God laugh, tell her your plans. So, for example, to get a feeling of this other way of knowing, other way of being, again, I guess I can explain a little. This is English translation, unfortunately, mostly from a French translation from the original, which was an old Egyptian language called Coptic. It's called the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. So it was a text that was found written on leaves, like a couple, there were a couple of big sets of these Christian texts that were found that had been taken out of what was allowed to be called Christian a couple thousand years ago, a few hundred years after Jesus died. Before that time, they were just as sort of known as the ones that we now know. And this one, Gospel of Mary Magdalene, talks about Mary Magdalene as the disciple who received the more spiritual teachings. And so the male disciples were like, why should we listen to her if our teacher didn't tell us this stuff? Why should we listen to this woman? And then luckily one of the guys is like, well, let's just listen and see. And we have again this word soul. And here it's a little bit more, we can have a little bit more easily a sense of what is meant. So it could be called like that which kind of does the practice and feels the fruit of the practice. So it's not our most spiritual, invisible, ultimate, and it's not our most gross, like most, what would be a good word for that? It's not just our programming machine-like way of functioning, but a particular, as if a different kind of anatomy that's neither invisible nor visible, neither without form nor exactly with a regular form, the soul. So the soul is rising in the language of this text. And the soul meets different things on the way up. And so here happens to be like the third stage where the space of craving, where we've got to have something. So wanting, which means a sense of not having. Craving said to the soul, I did not see you descend, I didn't see you go down, but now I see you rising. So the force of wanting, of not enoughness, not good enoughness, whatever your version is, sees that which can follow through on spiritual practice rising and says, hey, I didn't see you going down there. How is it that you're coming up? Sort of like without my permission. Why do you lie since you belong to me? Does that make sense? No. Okay. So we've all felt this today probably, where wanting something was telling, let's say, the innocence or the sincere part of us that's willing to do what's needed, if I would only know what that is. Okay? Wanting is sort of telling the soul, telling that practicing part, that sincerity. Sincerity? What wants to do what's needed, if the willingness. Let's do that. Wanting, not enoughness, not good enoughness, not okayness, wrongness, right and wrongness, okay, is telling us, who do you think you are rising? Who do you think you are on a spiritual path? You belong to me. What are you pretending? Why do you lie? Not lie down. Or also, why do you? What are you doing lying down? What are you doing relaxing? But why do you pretend? Why do you say something that isn't true? That you're, that, how do you do spiritual practice? And the soul answers. So instead of like, oh, right, we should just get busy because we're not enough. We're not good enough. We've got to do something. We've got to improve. We've got to become something else. First, then we could rest. Then maybe we'll rise. But we're so burdened. The soul answered, is that okay? The soul answered to craving, to wanting, to not enoughness, etc. The soul answered, I saw you, though you did not see me. Nor recognize me. So that innocence, willingness, sincerity, sees wanting, sees not enoughness, but not enoughness cannot see that willingness, innocence, sincerity. And it cannot recognize that. Wanting, not enoughness, not good enoughness, any other?
Lack of satisfaction.
Lack of satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Feeling incompleteness. Cannot see that sincerity, that willingness, that does rise. And cannot recognize it. Cannot see it, cannot recognize it. And it's a lovely phrase, especially with this week, with nakedness and wearing out. And here this week, part of the, Jonathan was saying that with the Tamil New Year Pongal that was during this retreat, the clothes that have been worn, the clothing, the stuff that we wear, that has gotten worn out, so it's too old, full of holes, dirty, etc., to wear anymore. It's too weak. It doesn't serve anymore as clothing. Is put into a fire, and then we put on new clothes. And similarly, the inner process of what is old, what is worn out, what doesn't serve anymore its purpose, is thrown into the fire and we put on new clothes. In our case, we don't put on new clothes. We notice when we put on new clothes and no, not again. We notice when we do someone else's practice and we say no. I saw you, though you did not see me, nor recognize me. I was with you as with a garment, as with clothing. So you were like clothing. You were kind of outside of me, covering me, maybe protecting me, whatever a garment does, maybe decorating me, maybe showing me off.
Maybe hiding me.
Yeah, maybe hiding me. I was with you as with a garment. I could feel you on my skin, not inside me, but on me, so to speak. And you never felt me. Having said this, the soul left rejoicing greatly. Sounds like one of the Buddhist texts as well. From the position, the ground or territory of I am not enough, there is not enough, it is not enough, or whatever. From the position of hiding, being hidden, from the position of defense, needing protection, what else? Dressing up, covering up, pretending, following, like, what am I supposed to wear here? From that position, we cannot actually feel what is rising. We cannot feel what is innocent, so innocent, not knowing. You were made for joy, child. Innocence. Willingness. And from the willingness, we can feel the clothing, the hiding, the protection, etc. And that makes all the difference. It's a simple difference. Does that make sense? Or is there any question? Or any comment, anything to share?
Can you just repeat the last line a little bit? But you just said.
Yeah, I know. okay. The last thing I said was it's just a simple difference, and it makes all the difference. The difference is from innocence, so from simplicity. Where in simplicity we move at the speed of natural creatures and feel the earth's love beneath our feet. From the not knowing, willingness to do what needs to be done if I would be moved, if I would know what it is. Sincerity. From the sincerity, the feeling not enoughness, so craving, not enoughness, not good enough, protecting, hiding, defending, showing off, decorating, following. I do this because I would not wear this if we weren't in India, I don't think. We can feel, from simplicity and innocence, we can feel that. And from the not enoughness, we cannot feel the innocence. We cannot see it, we cannot recognize it, we cannot feel it. We are covering something that we don't know what it is. We. Our life energy is involved in covering something without knowing why and what. And that's interesting also. But more, so we could, okay, sometimes we're stuck in defending insecurity, whatever you want to call it. We're stuck in it. Sometimes we could feel behind, what am I protecting? And also, is it protected by this? Is there something? And does it need protection? No and no. Sometimes protection is needed, but that isn't it. Craving isn't it. Wanting, not enoughness isn't it. So it's a simple difference, and it kind of makes a big difference. Here where the world is being made, no human hand required. And again, these guys. This is Wendell Berry, whom I love dearly. And he is in his 80s, and so we can forgive him, because in his generation, one could say a man and mean anyone. But now we cannot. So he says, a man may come. He means someone may come. A person may come. Here where the world is being made, no human hand required. A person may come, somewhat afraid, always, and somewhat tired. For, I'm going to make it we, so I don't have to keep doing weird things around the he. And I ask his forgiveness, Wendell Berry's forgiveness, for losing that. He is a soft word as a sound. So, and it's a short one. Here and he also, here and he. So just, here where the world is being made, no human hand required. And I just love how it weaves together. You were made for joy, child. Your feet were carved for that, your ankles run for that. So it's like we're getting the wrap woven together. We may come. somewhat afraid always, and somewhat tired. For we come ignorant and alone from work and worry of a human place. In soul and bone, the ache of human love, we may come and be still, not go toward any chosen aim, or stay for what we think is so. So I know the English is like, what? We come ignorant and alone. We're always afraid, he says. Somewhat afraid, always. And somewhat tired. For we come ignorant and alone from work and worry of a human place. In soul and bone, the ache of human love. So we're a bit afraid, and we're a bit tired from all the work and worry and ache. Does that happen to be from a German root? We've worked so hard and the muscles ache, or we fell down off the horse so many times that the bones ache. Or the heart aches, because we want so much for the love to be. Mary Magdalene says, I love this line. If I can find it. So the soul rises, and the next place is ignorance, and ignorance is also so not knowing. It's asking, where are you going? You're dominated by bad tendencies. You have no discrimination and you're a slave. Does that sound like a familiar voice? You're dominated by destructive habit energies. Woo! And you have no discrimination and you are a slave. Ignorance says to innocence. And the soul, the innocence, the willingness answers. Again, instead of like, ugh, the soul answers, or, why do you judge me since I have made no judgment? I have been dominated, but I myself have not dominated. I have not been recognized, but I myself have recognized that all things, and now we can, there's a kind of more specific clarity of things. So first it's just beautiful. Why do you judge me since I have made no judgment? The innocence, the willingness says. When we feel full of anger or fear or loneliness or shame or whatever, the innocence doesn't know what is this. There is aliveness and intelligence in there too. But from the not enoughness and from the escape from innocence, there is judgment. But we have the right to say from our innocence and our willingness, sincerity, why do you judge me since I've made no judgment? I have been dominated. It's true. But I myself have not dominated. There has been violence, but I have not been violent. Another way to say. I have been taken over by destructive habit energies, but I haven't used the same technique to rise, because that doesn't rise. I have not been recognized. So again, from our let's say from our experience of needing to know and needing to be right, it's like another layer of clothing. It can't recognize the willingness, the sincerity, etc. And so something in us can say, I have not been recognized, but I have recognized. But now the soul says, I have not been recognized, but I myself have recognized that all things which are composed shall be decomposed on earth and in heaven. Everything that happens, everything that gets made, everything that comes together falls apart on earth and in heaven, meaning physically and in the what seems to be ordinary life as well as in the spiritual life. A wonderful mind state comes and it goes. A wonderful sound comes and it goes, etc. I have been dominated, but I myself have not dominated. So we have this deep wish, and part of the ache of human love is wishing for that that doesn't know how to dominate and that doesn't dominate. To have that voice to say, I have been dominated. It's a little bit like I take responsibility there. And I have not dominated. So the possibility of not domination. Not worry. Care and not worry. We may come and be still. Kind of give up the work and worry. Not go toward any chosen aim. We may come and we may be still, and we may not go toward any chosen aim. Or we may stay for what we think is a chosen aim. So we may give up our plans, or we may stay, so still, for what we think is our plan. But setting aside our claim, so no longer requiring, so letting go of all things fallen in our plight. So in all the difficulty and the struggle and the not knowing and the doing our best, and the sincerity is still there. The inner goodness is still there. And we make a mess of things so many times also. Or messes happen again and again. And we just stay with the sincere innocence that we don't know always why it made such a mess. But we set aside our claim, so we set aside, in a way, our responsibility. We set aside our ownership of everything that fell down as we struggled through and made our way. We don't try to go back and build it up again. We let it lie. We know we did our best with the resources we found at hand. And we feel there is an inner goodness. We feel there is an innocence. And then, so Wendell Berry says, we may come and be still, not go toward any chosen aim, or stay for what we think is so, is a chosen aim, setting aside our claim on all things fallen in our plight. Our mind may move with leaves, like leaves of the trees, wind shaken in and out of light. And so our plight, the difficult terrain of our existence, where we would love to just build a superhighway. And in doing that, we lost our footpath that we can find again and again and again, step by step. Letting go of feeling at fault or laying fault somewhere. Our mind may move with leaves, wind shaken, moved not by their own power, and beautifully. in and out of light. So sometimes light rhymes with plight. And sometimes we're moved and it's dark. Our mind may move with leaves. And I love also the sense of how it's up here, some kind of movement. So not just the sense of this sort of helmet mind. Helmet is what we put on, you're supposed to put on when you ride a scooter, also in India. Please do. We had someone here have a terrible accident one time, and one of my friends was killed in that same kind of accident on a road around here. So put on a helmet or don't go on a scooter, please. The sense of the leaves are moving way up here. And it's just, the trunk may not be moving, just the leaves may be moving. And I love how Wendell Berry says, they may move. It may move with leaves. Not that it does, it may. It's partly a sense of permission to be moved by some other force. And partly yes, sometimes no. Our mind may move with leaves, wind shaken, in and out of light, step by step, and live as the light lives. And live as the creation, and he puts a capital C, which I personally, I get the slight like, oh. Sings, live as the creation sings. So, but we could, for me, it would be like rescue from capital C creation, that like creation that we can feel in the heart and be led by. Or the pilgrim on the way, so then the way is also holy. So our mind may move with leaves, wind shaken, in and out of light. And then I hear the Michael Lunig step by step, side by side. Wind shaken, in and out of light, our mind may move with leaves and live as the light lives. And live as the creation sings, in covert, which means hidden. Not hiding, but hidden. Two clear notes. So, our mind may live as the light in the leaves, as the creation sings. So, as our heart sings in our sincerity, our innocence, rising, hidden, two clear notes. So it's hidden, but it's clear. We can't see it, but we can hear it clearly. So some other sensing, some other way of knowing, some other way of being. Just rhyming the two poems. Live as the creation sings, so our sincerity sings, hidden, in covert, two clear notes, and waits. So the creation sings, hidden. It sings two clear notes and waits. Waits, espera. Then two clear answerings come from more distant throats. May live a while with light, shaking in high leaves. We wanted to be strong and we're shaking. So our mind may be moved like trees, leaves, in and out of light. And our mind may live as the light lives, as the creation sings, or we could say as the heart sings, or we could say as our sincerity rises. Hidden, clear, and waiting. And then two clear answerings, not more, not less, come from more distant throats. So this can be also where they're side by side, and also where it's our own vastness in reply. our mind, he doesn't say, but all of that was kind of an aside with two long lines. Our mind may live a while with light shaking in high leaves, or delayed in halts of song, so bits of songs. We feel like Stooge was reporting yesterday that it isn't enough to go on. There's nothing to hold on to. So the mind sometimes shaking, having been lifted up, having felt how high our being can sing, shaking in high leaves, moved in some other way, knowing in some other way, or it may be delayed, it may be waiting, feeling there's not a response, I'm alone. And there's just a bit of a song here and there. And then the last line, our mind, again, he doesn't say, but that's what he's talking of. Our mind, and also the leaves and the creation, the heart, the innocence. The innocence, the sincerity, the willingness may live a while with light. Even if I'm shaking, this is good. Or it may wait with not enough to go on, but it is enough. It is bits of a song. Or submit to making the shape of what is made. So submit would usually be like we got dominated. We got told what to do. We were forced. But here is where it so happens that we agree humbly to help in the making the shape of what is made here in the place where the world is being made, no human hand required. We come back around to the beginning. So the sense of things happening by themselves, everything. And something in us that sometimes is shaking, is being shaken in and out of light, up high. And there's clear expression and response from far. And sometimes it isn't even a song. And sometimes we join in. We humbly follow along. We just sit on our bed cross-legged, though we don't need to or we don't know why or what. But what else would you want to do? But be led by heart's creation song. Step by step. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you. Thank you for allowing each other to be here. Thank you for your willingness, step by step. May it be dedicated to living fully in the momentum towards liberation for all.